That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Signs, I need big, blinking, neon, unmistakable signs. You know, the big blinking arrow pointing in the direction I'm supposed to go. I'm walking through cobwebs and fog over here, God. Why do I feel like I have no idea where I'm going and what to do next? Is this just me, or have you been there? Or are you there like I am right now? Should I take the job? Should I marry the guy? Should I make the move or initiate the relationship or consider the ministry opportunity? Decisions, decisions, decisions. And then there's the crossroads, or the just plain crazy chaos in our lives. Do you feel like you're the only person who doesn't know, and everyone around you has figured out the secret to decoding God's will for their lives? As advertised, let me shoot you straight here. Many people are looking for a mystical experience, a sign, or an audible voice from heaven. But Scripture never instructs us to find God's will that way. We also don't manipulate God into giving us answers through fleeces like Gideon. Check Judges 6 on that. That was descriptive, not prescriptive, meaning it was describing what Gideon did, not prescribing how we should do things from then on out. Christ has come. We have the full counsel of God. Why would we go back to the shadows when we have the substance? We have the real thing. We don't need fleeces anymore. So how are we supposed to know the will of God for our lives? Instead of looking for signs in the sky or trusting your gut feelings, which, by the way, your feelings change and your circumstances are temporary, so those aren't good markers anyway. Let's learn how to discern God's will through His word. That's where the clarity and the peace and the obedience are motivated from anyway. Notice I didn't say call your mama or your best friend and ask them what to do. Now, that might play a part later on down the line, but for now, let's start where every question must start, with God and His word, not with us. Okay, so debunking the find the will of God riddle. First things first, the will of God is not a hidden mystery we have to uncover like a puzzle. It's a revealed path of obedience. Look at Romans 12, 1 through 2. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Did you catch that? We don't find the will of God by chasing our desires or by reading the right books or listening to the right people. And we don't find the will of God by reasoning it out, talking it out, or testing it out. We find it by submitting our lives fully to Him. See that in Romans 12? We present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice. We refuse to do it the world's way. We push against the moral atmosphere and the cultural norms and the beliefs and values and the spirit of the age. Nope, we're not going to do it, because we know that it is as we are transformed by the renewing of our minds that we can see clearly the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that begs the question, how do we renew our minds? All together now, ladies, with the word of God. Yes, A plus, gold star, great job. Scripture does a bang up job of getting the cobwebs out, of clearing the fog, of giving us eyes to see. This is how God speaks, through His word. You want to talk to God? That's prayer. You want God to talk to you? Read His word. That is how he speaks to us, through his very breath on paper. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God. Some other translations say breathed out by God. That's where I get the breath on paper thing. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So if your looming question is, God, what in the world is your will for my life right now? Today, in this immediate context, in this decision I have to make, here's your first line of action. Grab your Bible. God reveals his will through his word. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's revealed will is found in the pages of scripture. It's not hidden in a mysterious code or a feeling in your heart. It's a process. It's not an event. And God's regular method of giving guidance is through his word. So bottom line, if a decision would violate God's clear commands, dishonesty, impurity, vengeance, you get the picture, then you can be sure it's not his will. Now, before we dive into the how, let's clarify what we mean by God's will in general. And here's your freebie mini theology lesson for you. Throwing this in at no charge. Oh, wait, we don't charge for anything over here at Fortis Institute. Did y'all know that? Hey, if you are just listening to The Better Way and you haven't checked out the other awesome resources that Fortis is putting out completely for free, don't wait another second. I mean it. These guys, way smarter than me, way better speakers than me, they are awesome. And you will be so encouraged and helped. You got Dr. Greg Gifford with Transformed, Dr. John Krotz with Integrated, Pastor Brad Bigney with Thrive, Tall Todd with Wretched. And I know we're all ladies here, but if you have a 20-something young man in your life, send him over to Dr. Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood. You won't regret it. Okay, off that rabbit trail and back on the road. Freebie theology lesson coming right up. When we talk about an understanding of God's will according to his word, there's a few distinctions, and things can seem a little bit tangly, especially since in the New Testament, the English word will is actually translated from two different Greek words. Wouldn't it be helpful if each Greek word pointed us to a different aspect of God's will every single time? That would be great, but it's not that simple. Those Greek words often end up being used interchangeably, which doesn't make our job any easier, but here's where it gets interesting. Context. Context is our friend. As we walk through scripture, we start to see a few distinct ideas come into focus regarding God's will. First, there's what we're going to call God's sovereign or decreed will. This is God's unstoppable will. This is his will that simply because God says so, it's going to happen. It must happen because God said so. So if God decrees something by the force of his authority, nothing and no one can stand in its way. It's already settled. It's God's decreed will. Then we have God's perceptive will. This is where God shares with us his instructions and commands, his heart for how we should live. For example, love the Lord your God with all your heart. But here's the thing, we don't. We can and often do resist this part of God's will. Because if this command worked like God's sovereign will, every single one of us would love him perfectly all the time. We would love the Lord our God with all our heart every day, 24/7. But as we all know, we fall short. So this part, this aspect of God's will reveals his desires, but it is a will we can ignore, disobey, or maybe not even know exists. There's also what we might call God's will of disposition. This is about God's heart. It's his posture towards creation. For instance, God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He isn't gleeful over anyone suffering, even though ultimately consequences and judgments may come. This aspect of God's will shows something about God's character to us and what brings him joy or grief. A lot of times we'll hear 2 Peter 3:9. I know R.C. Sproul used this example. God is not willing that any should perish. So what's that really saying? If this is actually talking about God's sovereign, unstoppable will, then literally not a single person would ever perish. But we know that's not how the world works. The verse says, God is not willing that any of us should perish. So then we know this is God's will of disposition, that he doesn't want anyone to perish. The truth is, whenever you run across a statement about God's will in the Bible, you have to look at the big picture, that passage's context, but also everything else Scripture says about who God is, how God does things, what his commands are, what he says about people, and how we naturally respond, and how sin functions in our lives. Only then can we really understand which aspect of God's will the passage is actually pointing us towards. Thankfully, God doesn't leave us guessing. God's will is too remarkable and complex to fit neatly into just one word or idea. It is something we're meant to understand in the context of relationship with him, with a heart ready to listen as we go to God's word. So how exactly are we supposed to know then the answer to the question, what is God's will for my life right now? So glad you asked.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossin in just a moment as she continues to talk about knowing God's will. A quick sidebar, this program, The Better Way, shows up in your newsfeed for free because of people we call gospel partners. This is a quiet group of people who have decided that biblical help shouldn't hide behind a paywall. They get no billboards. They get no pat on the backs most of the time. They're just steady and they're faithful month after month. So if you've ever been helped by what Fortis puts in your ears or in your eyes for that matter, understand that someone you don't know helped make that moment happen. That's what gospel partnership looks like. And maybe that's your next step. And I'm not saying that out of guilt or anything like that, but out of gratitude. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you want to help multiply the reach of what you hear and what you see at Fortis Institutes, would you consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just pray about it. And again, you must be giving to your local church faithfully first. If you're not doing that right now, we urge you to get that corrected before you ever consider giving to our ministry, because that's your first giving priority. You can learn more right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, I want to also talk about Fortis Plus. When you hear Fortis Plus, I want you to correlate that with clear biblical guidance, because that's what you're going to get. Things that you can use in your life right now. Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. John Kratz, Libby Glossin here, who you're listening to right now, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Todd Friel, and others are providing content every single day on Fortis Plus. Solid counsel from people who believe Scripture is enough, and they show you what that looks like. If you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus, I urge you to do so. You can download it right now on your smartphone, wherever you download apps, or you can also now download it on your smart TV, wherever you download apps there as well. Completely free. And again, listen, if you do consider joining us here as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, remember that you could be the reason someone else finds Fortis Plus. A college student scrolling at midnight, the mom who hasn't said out loud just how anxious she is. Would you prayerfully consider that this week? All right, now let's get back to Ms. Libby Glossin as she continues to dig into knowing God's will. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
Well, welcome back. Glad you're joining me for the second half of the show today. Let's walk through a few passages that show us what God's will actually is according to Scripture as we're seeking to answer the question, how do I know the will of God in my life? So what God's will actually is, Scripture is very clear on a few things. Number one, God's will is your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, of course, the rest of that verse talks about abstaining from sexual immorality, and Paul is being very specific there, but it's clear that the ultimate will of God is for us to be sanctified, for us to be made more like Christ, for us to be refined, for us to be pruned and pursue holiness. So the question is, are you walking in holiness? Are you actively putting off sin and pursuing righteousness? We can't expect to discern God's will for our next steps if we're not obeying the steps He's already given us. So this is A1A, number one line of defense when you're trying to figure out God's will for your life. It's your sanctification. Number two, God's will is that you give thanks in all circumstances. I am not making this up. 1 Thessalonians, very next chapter, verse 18 in chapter 5. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? The will of God is that we give thanks in all circumstances. When you're cultivating a heart of gratitude and you're being intentional in thanking God and being thankful, this is what anchors your heart to God's sovereignty. When you're complaining and constantly griping about your current situation, that's going to cloud your judgment. So if you want clarity about the next thing, you have to be thankful for right now. So first, is this decision, this direction going to help in my sanctification? Next, am I giving thanks in all circumstances? Am I content? Am I grateful? Number three, God's will is that you live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This isn't a spiritual feeling, not a mystical feeling. It's about submitting to the Spirit's guiding, prompting, conviction through the Word. Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in your life? That's how you will know if you are walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Okay, so here's the better way. If you're asking what God's will is, start with what God has already said. If you're not obeying what's revealed, you're not going to receive clarity about next steps. So what's already revealed is that whatever direction we're going in should be leading to our sanctification, should be producing a thankful heart in us, and should be evident that we're walking by the Spirit. But let's take that out of the abstract and into the everyday. We're talking practical here. So how do you discern God's will in a specific situation? Here's five ways to practically think this through. I hope this will be helpful. Number one, seek God's wisdom in Scripture. Always going to start there. Psalm 119:105, we already talked about the first half of the episode. Your word is a lamp to my feet. If you want to see where you're going, you need God's word to light the way. Don't wait for a feeling of peace to make a decision. Open your Bible. Is your choice consistent with God's character, with His commands, with what He says should be priorities in our lives? Practically, this just means when you're facing a decision, saturate yourself with relevant scriptures. For relationships, you could read Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 13. For work-related decisions, check out Colossians. The whole chapter 3 is excellent when you're thinking about work and your employer and how to honor God in those kind of decisions. Number two, examine your motives. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the Spirit. Ask yourself, why do I want this? In this decision, if I make decision A or decision B, am I looking to glorify God or gratify myself? Because even a good decision with selfish motives can set you outside of God's will. So number one, go to the Word first. Number two, check your heart. Examine your motivation. Number three, surround yourself with godly counsel. Now, I know that I said just a few minutes ago that you should not be running to your mama or your best friend, but I also said there is a time and place for that. So if you've gone to God, you've gone to His word, now you go to godly counsel, Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. This is where your local church matters. Your pastors, the mature believers in your body that you belong to, the local body that you belong to, the Titus 2 ladies in your church. These are the people that God has given to help sharpen your discernment. So don't isolate your decisions, because God does use his people to guide his people. Number four, consider your responsibilities. 1 Timothy 5:8 reminds us that we're not supposed to neglect our family responsibilities. So God's will is not just about you, not just about your personal fulfillment or how something is going to impact you. It's about the faithfulness in the role that he's already assigned to you. So if you're a wife, if you're a mom, if you are a university student, if you are an employee, if you're a church member, keep those responsibilities in mind. And hot on the coattails of that, kind of a part B of number four, is consider the impact on others and on the church, because God's will is also about how your life fits into the body of Christ. Philippians 2:4 says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." So here you can ask yourself, is this decision going to serve or help the people around me or hinder them? Is it going to build up the church, or is it just about my kingdom come? So include godly friends, family, elders, church leaders in important decisions, and let their feedback help you to see what you might miss on your own. Number five, use the mind and gifts God has given you. I am not at all telling you to go take a spiritual gifts test. I am just saying that God has shaped you with talents and desires and unique circumstances that have placed you by his providence exactly where he wants you to use the mind and the gifts that God has given you for his glory. So just pay attention to how God has gifted you. Bonus, I said five, didn't I? Well, here's a bonus. I don't want to leave it out because it's probably one of the most important things. So we can make this a number 1B. How about that? Put it back at the beginning of your notes. Pray about it. Use what God has given you. Pray. Prayer. Seek wisdom from God with a humble heart. James 1:5 promises, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." God delights to give us guidance, especially when we seek him in humility and listen when he answers. So pray specifically for the wisdom for your choices. And as you pray, please do not ask God to rubber stamp your plans. Ask God to align your desires with his will. Now, if you've put all seven, really, of those things into practice, here's another bonus. Sometimes we're asking God for direction because we don't want to wait, but maybe you feel anxious or confused or just plain tired of not having clarity. Listen to this promise from Isaiah 26:3-4. "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock." God doesn't say peace comes after we figure everything out. He says peace comes when our minds are stayed on him, not on the outcome, not on the timeline. Perfect peace isn't the absence of questions. It's the presence of trust. So if your mind is racing, fix your eyes, fix your mind on the one who holds every answer. And when you still don't know, when the path is still unclear, just do the next right thing God has already commanded. Stop looking for a magical signal and start following the will of God that's already revealed in his word. So how do you know God's will for your life? Not through social media, not through a blinking sign in the sky, and not through yourself, but through submission, through scripture, through sanctification, through spirit-led wisdom. The better way is to stop obsessing over tomorrow and start obeying today. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." God is not hiding from you. He's guiding you as you walk in faith, in obedience, pursuing holiness, in community with his people, getting into his word, immersed in his word every single day. Listen, God's will is not meant to be a burden or a code to crack. This is a path to joy and growing in Christ-likeness as you walk in obedience, rooted in scripture, in prayer, and the wisdom of the Spirit. The details of God's plan is just going to unfold right in front of you, one step at a time, sometimes a little bit at a time, and sometimes with a lot of waiting in between. But God's plan will unfold. And now that you know the better way to think through the question, how do I know God's will for my life? Put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.